As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065. Please make a note of it. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter Mo, the Big Mo, 65647, that postal zone zip code. And a big shout out once again to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and all the other affiliates and micro broadcasters that may be carrying Become Vocal Local this morning. Thank you so very much for carrying this broadcast to your local listening audiences. Our listener call-in number again remains 866-841-1065, and your calls are always welcome. Gold spot bullion prices remain resilient above the $1,040 mark. Advancing in early trading nears $1,070 despite the rise in the USDX and the stock market. We'll talk about that in a moment. Economics 101 continues, monetary policy versus fiscal policy, public finance, and of course, lots of financial news as well. We'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for Friday, October the 23rd, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold trading up $6.70. $1,066.50. Boy, where's the violin? That sounds so nice. $1,066.50 in early morning trading. Silver up 27 cents, trading at $17.91 an ounce, just 9 cents away from 18 bucks. Oh, looking forward to that. Platinum up $3 at $1,369 an ounce. Palladium up a buck at $336 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,056.30 for a low, $1,068.50 for a high, a nice $13 spread in there, just about 12 bucks, something like that. At $1,066.50, your gold is up $345.20 year to year for a 47.87% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,061.25. You can see we're 5 bucks and a quarter above that now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 132 points yesterday at 10,081. The NASDAQ up 15 at 2165, and the S&P up 12 at 1093. We'll be right back for more right here on Become Vocal Local.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap. No water in the stores. No water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-Panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50-90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, October the 23rd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. We started out the first segment on the market reports. Let's go back and finish that out for today. We find again Friday, October the 23rd, 2009, trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Gold was up $6.70, trading at $1,066.50 an ounce. Silver was up 27 cents at $17.91, and platinum was up $3 at $13.69. Dropping down into the report a bit further, here we find crude oil still going up, $81.40 a barrel for 42 gallons of light sweet crude. It's like $1.90 for crude oil delivered in Oklahoma as it is. It's moving up 21 cents in early trading. Watch those prices at the pump as they continue to rise. The U.S. dollar index, it came up a little bit today, this USDX. You know, go up and find out about that, folks. This USDX, this is another one of these little stock exchanges. This isn't the dollars that fold in half in your pocket. This is a dollar in a weighted basket of currencies. It's traded by theice.com, www.theice.com, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., It moved up 22 basis points, trading at 75.32. That rolls over into the Forex, the foreign exchange market. The Canadian dollar this morning off 41 basis points, yet still trades at 95 cents U.S. The Mexican peso up just 2 basis points, still at 8 cents U.S. The euro off just a bit, 6 basis points, trades at $1.50 U.S. The British pound off 130 basis points, losing what it gained yesterday, trading at $1.64 U.S., and that Swiss franc resilient right at 99 cents U.S., so it's virtually at par with U.S. dollar. In the bond market, we see the two-year bond moves up again. Now it's at the yield is at 1%, coming up from 94 and lower in previous days trading. The 10-year is running at 3.47. The 30-year is at 4.28. We're going to be talking more about bonds today as we go through and continue our study of economics 101, so to speak. The mortgage market, again, the trend seems to continue. The rates or the interest rate for a 15-year has moved up again. A 15-year mortgage is now running at 4.71%. You're going to have to add points on that, but it moves up from 4.67 a month ago. The 30-year goes down the other way again. Excuse me. The interest rate there is 5.15%, down from 5.20% last month. So there may be some kind of a move here to try and get people out of the 15-year mortgage market and keep them locked up in this 30-year mortgage market. And folks, if you ever run the math on that and you see what a swindle it is, you would never accept a 30-year mortgage. You're going to pay twice the amount of interest in that period. And why keep that debt going on and on and on and on endlessly? All right, let's go into a little bit of news today. Found a couple of interesting articles to share with you. One of them, this expansion of the hate crime law gets its final congressional approval. This off of Bloomberg. This morning, Congress gave final approval and sent to the usurper legislation to add gays to the list of groups covered by U.S. hate crime laws. The Senate voted 68-29 in favor of the plan as part of the defense policy measure. Part of a defense policy measure. These guys ought to be taken out into the street and horsewhipped. The whole House approved the bill, H.R. 2647, earlier this month, of course. Democrats, who had been pushing for the expansion for a decade, hailed the legislation. Quote, hate crimes affect not just the victim, they victimize the entire community, close quote, said Senator Ben Cardin, a Maryland Democrat who should be replaced at the next election, quote, we cannot allow our communities, and I will bury the usurper, community organizer, communitarian law, we cannot allow our communities to be terrorized by hatred and violence. Terrorized by hatred and violence. Republicans criticized the provision as unnecessary, I'll say so, saying violent crimes are illegal regardless of the offender's motivations. How are you going to reach inside the mind of somebody and figure out whether it was hate motivated? But it's hate anyway. I can tell you what, I hate rutabagas. Hate crimes are wrong, and that's why they are already illegal, said Senator Jim DeMint, a South Carolina Republican. There's a man that's using his brain this morning. Quote, there's no such thing as a criminal thought, only criminal acts. Once we endorse the concept of a thought crime, where will we draw the line? Good point. Good point, Jim. Attorney General Eric Holder called the measure a milestone in helping protect Americans from the most heinous, bias-motivated violence, close quote, he said. It's been one of my highest personal priorities to ensure that this legislation finally becomes law, and I applaud the Senate for joining the House in its vote. Well, that's Eric Holder, one of these czars. He needs to find a new place to work. Race, religion. The 1968 law passed in the aftermath of the assassination of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. protects people attacked because of their race, religion, or national origin. There were 7,624 hate crime incidents in 2007, almost 17% of which were based on sexual orientation, according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. 7,624 hate crime incidents in 2007. The measure approved yesterday would add legal protection for those attacked because of their sexual orientation, gender, or gender identity. Boy, this world has gone upside down, hasn't it? It would give the U.S. Justice Department expanded authority to prosecute such crimes when local authorities don't act. Well, you know, Reverend Ted Pike probably ticked off this morning. But as he says, this thing is attached to this defense policy measure. Apparently there's some kind of a jet engine that's hooked up in all of this, and Barry the Usurper doesn't like the jet engine, and so maybe there's a chance that he won't sign it into law, but you can almost guarantee that he will. Not that his signature means anything. You know, the usurper can't sign anything. Anything that he signs is just null on its face, unconstitutional. He's not a natural-born citizen. Let's go into another one. We're going to be talking about this on Monday. Several of our listeners have been forwarding material to me, and I've been taking a look myself. We've got this Copenhagen climate treaty coming up in December in Copenhagen. We're going to talk about that on Monday. I hope you'll make a note of it on your calendar. I'm going to have Hal Anthony, the host of Behind the Woodshed, that broadcasts on revolutionbroadcasting.org Monday through Friday from 2 until 4 p.m. Central Time. Hal's going to come and join me. We're going to get into this piece of work called the Climate Change Treaty. Go into that in great detail. There's hundreds of pages for me to read over the weekend. I've been reading until my eyes are just red, trying to wrap my mind around just what it is that these guys are trying to advance. It doesn't look good at all. No way, shape, or form. But again, it's the United Nations moving into our lives one more time. Let's go into this article. This off Bloomberg, Alan Onsman and Mark Chediak. California's push for electric cars may raise the cost for power. We're going to find out about that on the other side of this break, folks. Electric cars? What nonsense.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
This is the greatest show on radio because Paya is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
If we're back, and we're going to go into this insanity out of California. California's push for electric cars may raise the cost for power. California's push to lead the U.S. sales of electric cars may result in higher power rates for consumers in the state, as a growing number of rechargeable vehicles forces utilities to pay for grid upgrades. Free energy? Clean energy? At whose expense? The impact of the vehicles on electricity fees is being reviewed this month by California's Public Utility Commission, as the most populous U.S. state will require Toyota Motor Corporation, General Motors Company, Honda Motor Company, Ford Motor Company, and Nissan Motor Company to sell more vehicles than can be powered at electric outlets from late 2011. Power companies, including Southern California Edison, the state's largest, have to install new transformers and meters to handle the greater demand and prevent blackouts from circuits being overloaded by too many vehicles being plugged in. The utilities will boost rates to cover recover investment costs, said Travis Miller, an analyst at Morningstar Inc. in Chicago. I'll give that to you again. The utilities will boost rates to recover investment costs, said Travis Miller. Been all around this H.R. 2454, the Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009. Shared with you many times articles right out of our own electric co-op talking about the 200, 300, maybe 400% increase in electrical power costs for co-op members as a result of this move towards the green society. Here, for the benefit of Toyota, GM, Honda, and Ford, Nissan, to sell more of their electric motor scooters or electric golf carts, whatever these things are that claim to be automobiles, powered from outlets, the cost is going to be thrown over on all of the electrical consumers, all of the electrical purchasers, all of the bills in this whole state. This whole idea of sustainable development, pack 'em and stack 'em, new urbanism, communities, is going to be basically another one of these socialist utopian schemes. There's no question about it. Can't be understood any other way. The whole idea of population reduction figures in mightily on all of this. Go back and look at that Zeitgeist utopian kind of nonsense DVD that's out there on YouTube. And you'll notice how very, very few people you'll see in any of their drawings or animations. Doesn't work with lots and lots of people, folks. But about 90% of the people in this country live in these cities already. Can you imagine if they were all to convert over to these plug-them-into-the-wall automobiles at the end of the night, the amount of infrastructure rebuild and upgrades would be required to be able to support that? And how is the electricity generated? Oh, my God, no, not coal. Not coal. Not natural gas. Not nuclear power. No, no. Instead, let's put up windmills everywhere. Let's put up windmills. Last time I went up to Neosho, where the Crowder College there has built one of these very, very expensive windmill model projects, the blades were standing steady. They haven't turned in a while. How long has it been since this created one watt of electricity? Is anyone's guess? Maybe we'll try tidal power. You know, I lived in Seattle and San Francisco, and both places had electric trolleys in the early days, back in the 60s and 70s. They were real nice. But overhead, there's wires, and the wires go to an electrical generation plant someplace. In Seattle, I think it was by steam. It could be something else. Maybe it was coming from the Grand Coulee Dam. Maybe it was coming from some of the other hydroelectric plants around. Hydraulic power, hydroelectric power. Maybe we should build more dams on the rivers. Of course, they're taking the dams off the rivers. You got to look out for those little darters, you know, those striped darters or something like that. Can't have that. Going into the article again, if you look at the kind of money that will be needed for a full smart grid and support for electric vehicles, then you're talking about a substantial amount. This fellow Travis Miller said in a phone interview, that spending may total multiple billions of dollars over a decade or more, he said. From model years 2012 through 2014, the largest car makers by volume in California must sell about 60,000 plug-in hybrids and electric cars combined. Of course, that means about 60,000 people have to buy these plug-ins and hybrid cars. According to the State Air Resources Board, Barry the Usurper is aiming for 1 million plug-in cars on U.S. roads by 2015 to curb tailpipe emissions and cut dependence on foreign oil. And how are you going to generate the electricity, Barry? You figured that one out yet? Tailpipe emissions? Dependence on foreign oil? Why aren't we drilling any new oil wells in the Arctic areas? How come we haven't seen any new pipelines being built, bringing that oil from Alaska down here and the natural gas with it? For the last 8 years, we've been hearing all this claptrap about emissions and emissions and emissions and emissions, and we need to do this and we need to do that. We went through this insane upward spike in oil prices, what, 2 years ago? Something like that? Since then, I've only bought 4 tanks of diesel for my truck. I'm virtually under house arrest. I refuse. I'm boycotting the oil industry. Why won't we build more refineries here in the United States? Why won't we open the wells that we have? Why won't we drill on our coastal regions and in the Gulf? Foreign dependence on oil? You must be kidding. What kind of a joke is this? It's a joke on us. Overload, Rosemead, California-based Edison International, the owner of South California Edison, has identified Santa Monica customers, or California, as a community with many potential battery car customers that may require transformer upgrades. Santa Monica, California, the land of the fruits and nuts. While surplus power is available at night at cheaper rates, the grid needs adjustments to handle such charging. Craver said. For example, additional or larger transformers may be needed in neighborhoods with numerous plug-in cars. Quote, if all those people do it at off hours in the middle of the night, a lot of our system is designed so the transformers cool down at night, Craver said. That's part of how they're able to function at full capacity during the day. See, it's a total system overhaul necessary to accommodate these plug-in roller skates. Rates. Edison, PG&E Incorporation, the owner of Pacific Gas and Electric Company, and Sempra Energy San Diego Gas and Electric, have said in filings with the State Utilities Commission they'll have to make infrastructure investments related to plug-ins without proving specific figures. Expenses will start next year for plug-in readiness efforts and will require a reasonable process for seeking recovery of these costs. You can just translate that into higher expenses. Dropping down a little further, urgent imperative. The Edison Electric Institute, the main industry group for U.S. investor-owned utilities, said on October the 21st, its members are increasing efforts to prepare for electric vehicles, calling it an urgent imperative. Dropping down further here, here's a quote. It says, I don't think you can really isolate and say this is just the pure incremental case related to electric vehicles. In preparation for vehicles such as Nissan's Leaf electric car, the Leaf, you know, talk about green, huh? Nissan's Leaf electric car and GM's Chevrolet Volt, Well, how appropriate. Due in late 2010, Edison is trying to estimate how much demand there will be where most of the vehicles will be in use and potential impacts on its system. It's important that customer experience with plug-in vehicles be a good one, Craver said. Well, there you go.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They are forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar-powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned, went to sleep in 1969. In America, woke up on the planet stupider the next day. It's getting stupider and stupider, it seems. Anyway, I guess we're trapped here on this insane planet for a while longer. This is out of, again, off of Bloomberg, the Bank of England. More likely to expand bond purchases on GDP slump. This by Brian Swint and Jennifer Ryan. Again, we're looking at bonds. Why is that important? As we discovered the other day, bondholders are the creditors. Bondholders are the creditors. When the whole apple cart goes over, it's the bondholders that get paid first. You repudiate the debts of a nation, it's the bondholders that get paid first. If they're holding mortgage bonds on all of the property, they get the property and mortgage bonds and debentures and all of that. And then we go into the preferred stock and then the common stock, and we talked about that. But let's take a look a little bit more here. Britain's failure to escape the worst recession since World War II may force the Bank of England to increase its bond purchase plan next month, economists said. We're going to go into that economist stuff today. Economists said, 7 months after Governor Mervyn King's central bank started a £175 billion program to rescue the economy, the Office for National Statistics said today gross domestic product unexpectedly shrank 0.4% in the third quarter. You know, we've been hearing about this all over the news, you know, things unexpectedly happen. Unexpectedly, the gross domestic product shrank by 0.4% in the third quarter. None of the 33 economists, 33, that number is rather peculiar. None of the 33 economists surveyed by Bloomberg predicted such a contraction. Quote, having pumped in so much money and still seeing a decline in the GDP is damaging from a perspective of confidence and expectations for recovery. Confidence games. Confidence games, expectations, having pumped in so much money, and still seeing a decline in the gross domestic product is damaging from a perspective of confidence and expectations for recovery. £1 trillion in stimulus and banking aid from the Bank of England. What an inbred nest of whores these people are. Stimulus and banking aid. Dropping down a little further in the article, J.P. Morgan and Chase. Economist Malcolm Barr raised his forecast for the Bank of England to extend its bond purchase program to £225 billion in November. £175 billion didn't do the trick, so they're going to push it on out to £225 billion. This is insanity, folks. Officials and economists are debating the success of the so-called quantitative easing from Ben Bernanke's mouth to the Bank of England's ears, right? Which aims to boost the money supply and spending by flooding banks with cash through bond purchases. Through bond purchases. A creditor nation. Bank of England Deputy Governor Charles Bean said on October the 13th, That was the day that the Knights Templar were suppressed, according to Lee Rogers. October the 13th said that the rising asset prices suggest it has a quote-unquote significant impact and signaled optimism that the economy had troughed. How about tanked, Bubba? At the same time, policymakers refused to estimate the exact link between bond purchases and spending. We're going to find out more about that. But Philip Shaw said, well, we'll just have to put the champagne cork back in the bottle. Not ready to celebrate yet. Service industries, which account for about 76% of the economy, seems like a social disease, doesn't it? Service industries. Whatever happened to manufacturing? Whatever happened to mining? The production of true wealth. Service industries, which account for 76% of England's economy, shrank 0.2% on the quarter, and the drop was led by distribution, hotels, and catering. Distribution. The drop was led by distribution, so they had even a greater drop in distribution, hotels, and catering, followed by transport, storage, and communications, and business services and finance. Rather peculiar phrasing there in that little very telling paragraph. No need. There's no need to accelerate the quantitative easing, said former policymaker Deanne Julius in an interview. The quote, the economy is turning around and it's hard to say that it's had much of an impact. What has had an impact is the very low rates. And today, the 2-year bond running at 1% interest yield. Dropping down and finishing this one out, says it's now clearly a closer call, said Kunis, a former U.S. Treasury official. Some analysts expressed frustration at how hard it is to work out what's going on in the economy. Isn't that the same frustration I've been voicing? Hey, let's go to a call. We've got one on there. Let's go live. caller from the 314. Come on up. Good morning. Caller from 314, you're on the air. Going once. I can't hear you. I'm going to have to mute call. All right, going, gone. 314 called in. If you'd like to call in, try it again. Hopefully the telephone system is working. I couldn't hear you. But you're certainly welcome to call. The area code is 866-841, and our number is 1065. You're welcome to call in. Finishing out this article, it says, it seems to me inconceivable that the recession is deepening and the housing market is recovering. In other words, there's something wrong here. As again, some analysts expressed frustration in how hard it is to work out what's going on in this rigged economy. The last refuge of the failed forecaster is to challenge the statistics, but that's all we're left with, he said. The last refuge of the failed forecaster is to challenge the statistics. Well, as they say, figures don't lie, but liars figure, and that's the way it goes. New Jersey pays Goldman Sachs for swaps on non-existent bonds. This was another bond article right off the news today. Just as I wanted to talk about bonds and public finance and fiscal policy, these news articles just keep coming in spades. October 23rd, Dunstan McNichol. New Jersey taxpayers are sending almost $1 million a month to a partnership run by Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. for protection against rising interest costs on bonds that the state redeemed more than a year ago. $1 million a month. Taxpayers being bilked for $1 million a month for interest costs on a bond that the state redeemed more than a year ago. Let's find out about it. The most densely populated U.S. state, that'd be New Jersey, is making the payments under agreement made during the administration of former Governor James E. McCreevy in 2003, when New Jersey's Transportation Trust Fund Authority sold $345 million in auction rate bonds whose yields fluctuated with short-term interest costs. The agency finances road and rail projects. Who owns these things? Remember, the bondholder is the creditor. The people just get to hold the dirty end of the stick. Here we go. This vividly shows the risk of entering into interest rate swap agreements, said Christopher Taylor, former director of the Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board in Alexandria, Virginia. Quote, the world's got to see what stupidity even the sophisticated investors like the Transportation Fund can get into. Stupidity. Well, if it's that stupid, why don't you go back to Goldman Sachs and cancel the deal? If this is a swindle against the people, why don't you bring charges against this pilfering bunch of parasites and send them out of the country? While New Jersey replaced the debt with fixed-rate securities in 2008 after the $330 billion auction rate bond market froze, the swap, in which two parties typically exchange fixed payments for ones based on floating interest rates, isn't scheduled to expire until 2019. The state paid $940,000 under the agreement last month and a total of $11.4 million since the auction rate bonds were redeemed. You talk about a gangster, bankster, here you go, Goldman Sachs. Well, there's so much more in that article. It could go on and on. I printed the whole thing out. I'll save it for my own reference. It's up on Bloomberg this morning. New Jersey pays Goldman Sachs swaps on non-existent bonds. Let's go into fiscal policy and the federal debt. Find out a little bit more about what's going down. Again, this out of a textbook, Economics, Principles of Economics, published by D.C. Heath and Company back in 1953, a textbook intended for the first level of education in the training, I guess, of economists. Pick it all up on the other side of this break. Bring my blood pressure down. Have a sip of coffee.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
The Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
We've returned once again, going into this fiscal policy and the federal debt, a little bit of a continuation of our Economics 101 study. You know, we're trying to figure out what's going on in this world. If we overlook the economics, we've missed a major step here, a big plank. We talk about all kinds of philosophical radicalism on this particular topic, because so much of the philosophical radicalism that has come out in the last 500 years has focused on this very issue. Much more so than on ethics or religion and things like that. But fiscal policy and the federal debt is the title of Chapter 8, which is where we're going to pick up this morning. Modern economists, the authors write, in general, agree that the relationship of investment, consumption, and savings, three heads there, to the national income level are at the heart of the prosperity-depression problem. Prosperity-depression, booms and busts. And again, modern economists in general agree. The schools of thought on economy have gone back and forth and back and forth ever since Saddam Faisal in 1776 and others started to really put economy and the study of economics on the map. Them illumined ones, the Illuminati. But it's sort of much older than that. Back in 1492, when the Admiral sailed the ocean blue and we picked up Admiralty Law, You know, he's the admiral. That's where admiralty law really finds its beginnings. International law, you can trace it back to Hugo Grotius and some of the early writers, but certainly in the post-1492 expansion under the Borgia popes, when they started to pillage South America for all of its gold and silver, they flooded the markets in Europe from Spain with gold and silver in great quantities. And of course, whenever you throw lots of quote-unquote money into the market, you can expect financial upheavals. And as Albrecht Dürer and others wrote about and painted about, the Great Depression followed. And we've had these booms and bust cycles ever since. The other evening, Lee Rogers went through a list, very careful list, and I didn't hear a single miss. He got them all. He listed them out. He started in 1837, just after Andrew Jackson, that little depression, and brought it forward from there. But they continue all the way back for hundreds of years. There is about a 30-year cycle. Not a generation is spared. The bankster gangsters know how to run this one like a long-handled pump on a very deep well. And they just keep pumping and pumping money out of your pocket into theirs. But, again, modern economists in general agree that the relationship of investment, consumption, and savings to the national income level are at the heart of the prosperity-depression problem. Two major programs have been advocated by economists for the control of fluctuations in the level of employment and income. Here they are. The first program would try to control these fluctuations by monetary policy. Monetary policy. Benjamin Bernanke and Timmy Geithner.
Mr. Finance.
Yeah, right. One of these days we're going to go that way. Two, the second program does not oppose monetary controls, but recommends that they be part of a fiscal policy. So on the one hand, in the one pan, we put monetary policy, and in the other pan, these days, we place fiscal policy, and today we're going to examine them both. Monetary policy, economists in the past have placed great faith, always faith, belief systems, you know, in the interest rate as a controlling factor in the level of income and employment. And the interest rates are so low today, you'd be insane to buy into them. But again, economists in the past, and I guess in the future, in the present, have placed great faith in the interest rate as a controlling factor in the level of income and employment. They argued that if you desire to raise the level of income, the problem is essentially to stimulate production, and they argued that this could be done by sponsoring policies that would lower the interest rate and thereby induce more people to borrow money for investment purposes. Investment purposes. You don't borrow money to pay your way out of debt. You don't borrow money to buy your groceries. You borrow money to invest. Investment purposes. Conversely, if the level of employment and income is too high, they argued that it could be depressed by discouraging additional investment through sponsoring policies aimed at raising the rate of income or interest, thereby discouraging further borrowing. So you raise the interest rates, people quit borrowing, you lower the interest rates, and ostensibly people begin to borrow like fools. Other economists have emphasized the crucial importance of our money supply. They've believed that there's a direct relationship between the quantity of money in circulation, quantitative easing, the quantity of money in circulation, and the general price level. Thus, if there's an excessive amount of money in circulation, the price level will spiral upward. There seems to be a tremendous quantity of money in circulation these days. No one's even willing to publish the amount of trillions that have been cast into the sea of money. Obviously, the prices will need to spiral upwards. We're seeing that today in oil and gold, by the way. Another commodity. Conversely, if there's a shortage of money in circulations, the price levels will fall. Hence, the remedy for a fluctuating price level should be simple. Unfortunately, as we shall soon learn, it's much easier to state the remedy for a fluctuating price level than it is to achieve the desired result of controlling the money supply. Much more to be said about all of that. But people can be prevented from borrowing and investing much more readily than they can be induced to borrow and invest. They can be prevented much easier than they can be induced to borrow and invest. What would it take for you to go out and borrow $1 million today? Probably a handgun to the brain. Fiscal policy, let's look at that. This is more important for our discussion today. Of course, we're up to our eyeballs in modern monetary policy, but let's look at fiscal policy. Economists who advocate applying fiscal policy to the prosperity depression problem agree that the Federal Reserve System may use its monetary powers with limited success to check extreme expansion of money and credit during prosperity. They could, but they didn't. But they feel that the Federal Reserve is relatively powerless to halt the contraction of money and credit during periods of recession and depression because it cannot force businessmen to invest. Why do we keep asking Benjamin Bernanke questions? They can't get us out of this problem. Even if it should succeed in lowering the interest rates on loans to zeros today, the benchmark rate still stands at 0.25%, folks. Hence, the advocates of the use of fiscal policy place their faith, placing their full faith and credit, in positive government action to limit the peaks and valleys of the business cycle and encourage stable employments at a high level. Just how do they propose to accomplish this result? By using the twin tools of government taxation and government spending. And you want to know why we have the health care bill on deck. Why do we have this Clean Energy and Security Act on deck? Why do we have all of these little babushka squads and brown shirts and community groups and all of this other humanitarian stuff coming down the pipe? They're using their twin tools, government taxation and government spending. There is a topic that we could get into on shifting the burden. Instead of putting out an overt tax, an upfront, in-your-face percentile tax, they can shift that tax into the costs of things, like jacking up the cost of electricity to subsidize electric cars and that sort of thing. Shifting. But we won't talk about that at this moment. Dropping down a little bit further then, we need to understand how this cycle actually works, this prosperity, depression, fluctuation. Again, if we have this 30-year cycle, this goes back and it brings to mind the mathematical school of economic thought. The mathematical school is one of the more recent schools of thought. We can go all the way back and start with the physiocrats or earlier, go back to Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, and follow that through. But the end of that line is the mathematical school. These are the chartists and the wavists. And so we can chart ups and highs and lows. It's a cycle. Think of it like a 30-cycle or a 60-cycle Hertz cycle wave. And there are points on these, on this curve, on this cyclic wave, where the government can come in and apply fiscal measures. And if they do it properly, according to the wavists and the chartists, in a perfect world, they can actually reduce the height or the peak of prosperity, bring down the level of the boom, and they can bring up the level of the bust. They can reduce the impact of depression. But they have to do it precisely at the right moment with the right measures. And when they don't, it gets out of their control, as it is today. We'll be right back for hour number two. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, October the 23rd, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, as we begin our second hour. And again, my name is William Roberts, going through some financial news and looking at the economy and looking at the economics as a study, a science, supposedly, one of these special sciences that have been created by man. So much of what is going on in today's world that we live in, this global marketplace, is being driven by economics and the economists that if we fail to pay attention to them, if we don't understand them, then we're just constantly lost. And so the idea here is to find a little bit of truth, but certainly to, as I say, you know, instead of trying to teach you how to fish, instead of feeding you fish, rather just to teach you how to fish, once you understand some of these basics, that's certainly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. I'm going back through. I've got all my economics texts out and my encyclopedias spread out all over the place, my law dictionaries, and trying to figure out all of these words and how all this works together. I'm certainly no economics guru. I would rather be reading Immanuel Kant this morning or something else. Nevertheless, maybe we can wrap our minds around this topic just a little bit so that when we do hear financial things coming out, we could understand it better. But there's this relationship that doesn't seem to want to go away. It's this business cycle. And apparently, for hundreds and hundreds of years, this business cycle has performed. Many different philosophers have tried to put words to it, but basically, it just runs like a cycle. It runs like a wave. People get excited about something, they buy it, and then there's prosperity, and then there's a period of depression, and you know it goes the other way. It bounces, goes up, and then it goes down, and it goes up. And it's in your life. It's in my life. Go back and look at your checkbooks, you know, for the last 10 years, and you'll see how this thing goes, you know. Sometimes you're spending more money than you're making, and sometimes you're saving more than you're spending, and that's just the way it is. They call it a business cycle. And it says here that, again, to our textbook, that it's to be noted that there is no expectation for a complete eradication of the fluctuations. Well, part of that is because it's manipulated by those that have the greatest amount to gain and the least amount to lose in the system, and that's the bankster gangsters, as some call them. The Rothschilds and the Warburgs and the Schiffs and the Kuhns and the Loebs and the Goldman Sachs and the rest of them. There are people who make enough money at this that they would just as soon see these cycles continue, even exacerbate the situation wherever they can. Continuing here, relation of investments, savings, and employment. Knowledge of the propensity to consume, and we're going to cover consumerism on another broadcast. I really want to go into that. It's a lengthy study in itself. But knowledge of the propensity to consume tells us that at the very high levels of national income, the nation tends to save a relatively large proportion of that income. And these savings will not be invested unless profitable opportunities for the use of the savings exist. And here I've got a note that economics, as being presented here in this discussion, is national. That's where the focus is. It's national. It's not local. How you individually deal with your finances is just a tiny little fraction. It's just a little drop in a great big bucket of water. All of this activity is happening at the national level. That's why they call it gross domestic product and national incomes and things like that. It is bigger than you and it's bigger than me. Dropping down a little further, then how then can we dampen the movements of the business cycle and maintain the economy at a high level of employment and income? And isn't that what everyone wants to see out of all of this? High levels of employment and income. Everybody wants to be having money coming into their pockets as opposed to just an empty pocket. Nothing but lint and Obama's change. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Stay with us as we continue hour number two.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar-powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, so let's look at this. It says, it is argued that unemployment results from the failure of all savings to find their way into investment. Curious. Unemployment results from the failure of all savings to find their way into investment. Again, I'm reading from the Principles of Economics, published by the D.C. Heath and Company back in 1953, the Economics 101 textbook, college level. Investment, therefore, becomes the determinant factor of the level of economic activity and of the volume of employment. Full employment cannot be maintained if current investment is not kept at least equal to the flow of money savings. The advocate of the use of fiscal policy holds the view that all money saved will not be invested automatically, and therefore the government must take vigorous action to regulate the investment factor. Government's involvement in all of this. Ah, I know. There's always that like to see it. So we don't have any government at all. Proudhon was one of those socialists that was going down that trail. Of course, his philosophy, even though very well laid out, didn't get much of a following. But he did get a following. But now let us examine the specific measures which make up fiscal policy applied to the problem of the business cycle. And you've got this prosperity and depression cycle that just doesn't seem to want to go away. Compensatory financing, the application of fiscal policy to compensate for the fluctuations of the business cycle, has been given the name of compensatory financing. Remember before when we started this little study on economics, we talked about the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, and especially the obfuscatory linguistics of the niche builders known as economists. Building a language, walling themselves in behind a specialized language and specialized mathematics skills to perpetuate their own self-interest limitedly. Sometimes they do good, sometimes they do harm, but nevertheless they invent a lot of words like quantitative easing and green shoots, and he scores, as Jim Cederstrom says. The measures to be applied in compensatory financing we must consider in some detail. First, however, we must note that the action to restrain too high a prosperity must be taken during the period of recovery. Now, everyone's talking about, we're in recovery, we're coming out of this. Well, if that's the case, then compensatory financing must be taken now. Actions to restrain too high of a prosperity must be taken now. In other words, we need to start looking forward to reduce the boom that follows this bust. And if we don't take those action steps today, we can expect another boom followed by yet another bust. The fiscal policy of a country. As I have to say, you know, if we're going to be the replacement set here in all of this, then we need to be more intelligent than the boneheads that are running the government today. If we don't know anything about it, then yanking it out by the roots would be probably one of the more stupid things we could do, where the cure is worse than the disease. So we spend a little time thinking along these things. Maybe we could say that we could do a better job. Maybe if we walked a mile in their moccasins, so to speak, we might be able to plan the next mile and do a better job of it. Dropping down further here in our text, it says, on the other hand, the action to be taken to restrain the fall into a depression must be taken during the recession period. So now at the deep of the recession period, we need to be taking certain actions to restrain the fall into depression. I think we're already in that period, but that's my own opinion. We must also note that compensatory financing, which consists of fiscal policy applied to the problem of the business cycle, includes the use of monetary control. So even though we've got these two elements in the pans of our scale, on the one hand monetary policy and on the other hand fiscal policy, there's going to be a blending of those two tools, those economics tools, to make for a smoother ride, balance our tire, if you will. In the period of recovery, the measures to be taken to dampen the upswing into a too high of a prosperity are as follows. First, the government may tax individuals heavily. Get ready for those taxes, folks. They've got to come. They're going to be coming. That's the way it's going to be. Taxation of individual incomes, taken by itself with all of the things remaining equal, tends to remove purchasing power from the hands of the people. Just when you thought it was going to be bad, it's going to get worse, because Uncle Suck is going to be reaching his hand into your pocket so that you can't have any purchasing power on the other side of the depression. The effect of their removal of this purchasing power is to restrict the increasing demand during the recovery period. Going to have to keep you down there at the level of Bolivian peasants. Second, the federal government may attempt to gain a surplus in the federal budget through heavy taxation, and thus gain a large income to itself at the same time that it spends less than it receives. Well, you know it's never going to spend less than it receives. Again, this was written back in 1953 when we still had common sense in America. That has long since gone away. Aleister Crowley and the sex and the drugs and the rock and roll and the Benjamin Bernankes and the little Timmy Geithner who can't even seem to tie his tie and hold it straight don't possess any common sense. They're on a different agenda. They're marching to a different drummer. Third, the government may shift whatever national debt it owes to the banking system. Shift. Key word in economics I've discovered. Shift. The government may shift whatever national debt it owes to the banking system by borrowing money from individuals, as it does when it sells Series E savings bonds to individuals to pay back the loans previously made by the banks. Such a shift has a twofold effect. One, it removes purchasing power from the hands of individuals as effectively as taxation does. Buy your bonds. Get your bonds. Get those savings bonds, those Series E's. Thus decreasing demand. Always demand is in this system. And two, by paying back the loans previously made by the banking system to the government. The loans previously made by the banking systems to the government. How long will it take for us to pay back $1 trillion worth of debt at a dollar a day? Figure it out. Others have reported on it, and it's a fascinating number. How many years would it take at a dollar a day to pay back $1 trillion? The effect is to cut down the total deposits in the banking system and thereby reduce the supply of money. And what we've been talking about, pretty soon they're going to have to pull the plug and drain the supply of money. That's right out of Bernanke's mouth, I think. As we know, when the government borrows from banks, it sells government bonds to the banks, who then becomes the creditor. Who then becomes the creditor? The banks. Which the banks pay for by creating deposits to the credit of the government. This is the closest statement that we can get here of an explanation of how the Federal Reserve banking system works. Creating money out of nothing, loaning money into existence at interest. This incestuous relationship between the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the administration and the Congress horse. Well, we'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free.
Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we're back again with this textbook, Fiscal Policy and the Federal Debt. I like to use textbooks like this. This one was owned by a young lady named Kay Wilson back in the 1950s. She's marked the book up pretty thoroughly using a fountain pen and various pencils of different calibers, if you will. But in the table of contents, as is often the case, is one of the places that I like to go when I start studying one of these textbooks. There are marks, underlines, and stars and things like that placed opposite various chapters and sections of the text that are usually marked when the first couple of days of class ensue, because the instructor lays out in their syllabus of study what parts of the book are going to be covered and when the tests are going to be. And I found it rather interesting that here this Chapter 8, the Fiscal Policy and the Federal Debt, even though she has a habit of heavily marking up her textbooks, this particular chapter had not a mark in it. There's nothing in the table of contents, not a star, not a check, not an underline, as she usually does, to indicate that this particular chapter was even assigned. So perhaps it was possible for her to get through Economics 101 without studying Fiscal Policy and the Federal Debt. Now let's look at this very telling sentence again. It says, as we know, when the government borrows from banks, it sells government bonds to the banks, which the bank pays for by creating deposits to the credit of the government. Interesting, huh? Very interesting little cycle there. If you didn't get it, go back and listen to the archives later, maybe play it over and over on a loop. Transcribe it, write it down, look at it yourself. I found it very interesting. I've underlined it and highlighted it in pink and put a dagger beside it in the column, the margin. Continuing, the government then writes checks on these deposits and pays out the checks for various purposes. Wouldn't you like to have a checkbook like that? Thus, when the government sells bonds to the banks, the effect is to increase the total money supply in the country, since there has been an increase in total bank deposits. These are all just passbook entries, if you will. Loaned into existence, loaned into circulation. Nothing really behind them except the full faith and credit of the United States Incorporated. Around and around it goes. Now, during the period of recovery, the government is engaged in the opposite transaction, i.e., it has borrowed money from individuals and used that money to pay back the loans previously made by the banking system, and thereby wipes out the deposits that had been created earlier. The effect here is to decrease the total money supply. It gets to be more interesting as it goes along. Quite the system. Of course, next week coming up, they're going to sell even more of these bonds into existence, further increasing the total money supply in the country. Fourth, they say, a tight monetary policy may be instituted by the banking system. Such a policy consists of two parts. One, raising the interest rates. That we haven't seen. It's gone the other direction. A tight monetary policy. So you might say we have quantitative easing going on, a loose monetary policy, because we don't see any raising of the interest rates. And then B, raising the reserve requirements. But we've been hearing about this idea of raising the reserve requirements. This is part of the bank overhaul system. What's going on? Are we making a chocolate cake or are we making brownies? It seems like we're swapping ingredients. The amount of backing banks must have on the loans they make are reserve requirements. The tight monetary policy is to discourage borrowing by businessmen through charging high interest rates, and further, to make borrowing difficult by requiring heavy backing for loans. Such measures tend to restrict further investment. And of course, as we learned earlier, the more you restrict your investment, the deeper and deeper into recession and depression you go. Two, in the period of recession, the policies to be followed in this period in the attempt to prevent the economy from sliding downward into depression are opposite to those policies adopted during the period of recovery. So if we're in a period of recovery, then even this should have already come to pass. First, taxes on the individuals may be reduced drastically. Has anyone reduced the taxes lately? Such a measure has the effect of allowing the maximum of purchasing power to remain in the hands of the people. The result is to bolster whatever demand does exist. Oh, well, there was the Cash for Clunkers program. You did get the shrub, Jorge Bush's little $500 checks, didn't you? Some people went out and spent that money, even though that money never really exists. Second, the government may take steps into business activity by spending on a large scale. Boy, we have seen that. Such new spending, which injects new purchasing power into the economy, inject new purchasing power. Didn't that come right out of the news this morning? Article after article after article in the regurgitorium of Bloomberg. Again, such new spending, which injects new purchasing power into the economy, has the same quote-unquote multiplier effect as has private investment expenditures. That multiplier effect, where they loan trillions into existence, and that's supposed to blossom into quadruple trillions of investment, right? But people saved that money. People spent down their debts. People paid off their credit cards. They didn't make any investments. It didn't work. Such government spending may be for public works projects, like rebuilding the infrastructure of California's electrical supply to be able to provide electricity for all of these plug-in cars. Such as buildings. That's right. We're going to go around and we'll put green light bulbs in all government office buildings and parks and playgrounds and roads and power dams. Well, you can be sure they're not going to build any hydroelectric dams. That ain't going to happen. And for such multi-purpose investments as the Tennessee Valley Authority or the Missouri Valley Authority, one of the points to be made here is that such government spending in periods of recession or depression has a peculiarly powerful influence because the multiplier, quote-unquote multiplier, is large at low levels of national income. That's in a recession or depression. And small at high levels of national income, in other words, in recovery or prosperity. For example, with a low level of national income, a relatively large part of it would probably be spent for consumption purposes and only a small part saved. Well, we know that savings in America is at an all-time low, although it is coming up a little bit. But are people actually saving or are they hoarding? Are they hoarding? Maybe they're hoarding. Maybe they're buying guns and ammunition. Maybe they're buying beans and dehydrated foods and water filters. And maybe they're buying gold and, God forbid, silver coin. Hoarding, if you will. Therefore, we may say that new dollars of spending injected into the economy by the government during recessions and or depressions have the effect of markedly increasing the power of the government dollars spent. At least that's the theory. That's what the economists studied back in 1953. Of course, many of the people that studied in 1953 are now in power today. Third, the government spending outlined above may be accomplished with a deficit in the federal budget. The federal government spends more than it takes in. Isn't that the case? Such a practice of unbalancing the federal budget by taxing people very lightly and engaging in new spending heavily has been given the name of deficit financing. Deficit financing contemplates operating the federal government at a deficit by borrowing. Borrowing from banks, as we have already learned, causes an increase in total deposits in the banking system, and this is the same thing as creating a greater supply of money. Don't tell me they're not monetizing the debt. I don't believe it. Right.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, you can't really look at this Obamacare program as anything other than a tax. It's a heavy and it's a progressive income tax. It's a tax on the people, of all of the people. It'll even have to be included on your IRS 1040 form or whatever form is required to file. Take a look at this Copenhagen thing. The climate change cap and trade tax scheme. It's a scheme. It's another tax scheme. These are global taxes. We're talking about a global economic meltdown. I shared with you from England. We've heard about Iceland. We've heard about Greece. We've heard about people from all around the world going through this problem. So they're going to need to have a heavy tax, a progressive, heavily taxed people in order to come out of this global recession without having a period of prosperity on the other side by manipulation of money supplies, etc. Continuing here, it says, thus, while the government is spending heavily and gaining the advantage of a qualitatively large multiplier, see this quantitatively large multiplier, this idea of quantitative easing comes right out of the pages of these textbooks. I can't tell you how many times I've come across this quantitative used here in this textbook. Of course, it's a mathematical expression, but nevertheless, it's in here. You can imagine that Benjamin Bernanke just reached up on the shelf behind him in his office and pulled down this textbook, trying to find some way of expressing what he was trying to do, and came up with the term quantitative easing. But they says here again, while the government is spending heavily and gaining advantage of a quantitatively large multiplier, it's also increasing the money supply. I mean, there's some truth in all of this. By causing an increase in total deposits and thereby making more money available for private businessmen to borrow and invest. The transnationals, of course. Not to confuse that with the hate crimes legislation and talk about transsexuals and transvestites. The transnational corporations is what I'm talking about. The increased federal deficit or debt at this time may also be shifted, key phrase in economics, shifted, quote-unquote, from private individuals to banks. The increasing federal debt at this time may also be shifted from private individuals to banks, gaining the opposite effect than that occurring with the policies adopted during the recovery period for the purposes of dampening too high of a prosperity. See, they're looking down the road. They're doing something we're not doing. They're looking ahead. We're reporting on a day-by-day process. They're long-term, short-term, mid-range planners. We're not. Most of the listeners today have very few plans for what they're going to do this weekend, much less what they're going to do next week. Thus, again, the individual's purchasing power is increased in a twofold manner during a recession. One, by paying back money previously borrowed from them, and also by extracting a minimum amount in the way of taxes from them. On the other hand, shifting the federal debt to the banks increases the amount of money available in the economy for the use of businessmen for investment purposes or private consumers for consumption purposes. I don't have to tell you, you probably figured it out for yourself. But when the Chinese buy the bonds and other foreign when the other foreign companies buy the bonds, they're taking it out of circulation. This is completely different from what was being expressed in the pages of this book at a time when we had almost no debt to foreign entities. Dropping down fourth, the government may encourage recovery with an easy money policy. Easy money. Free money. Seems like they're blending all four of these techniques. They don't know what the hell they're doing. As a result, they're just collapsing the economy. An easy money policy would consist of A, lowering the interest rate, that they did, B, lowering the reserve requirements, that they did, and this again is the opposite of the monetary measures taken during the period of recovery and prosperity. Easy money, free money. By lowering the interest rates, businessmen are encouraged to borrow money for investment, and by lowering the reserve requirements, the making of loans is facilitated. Well, all that went in the derivatives bubble time period. In concluding our considerations of the specific measures making up compensatory financing, we must reemphasize the power of a government action during recession. The combined effects of a large multiplier operating to stimulate consumption, along with the increase in the money supply brought about through deficit financing, are potent factors in bringing about a halt during a recessional period and therefore a mitigation of the worst effects of the depression period. And then it goes on and discuss limitations of these financial things, but let's jump ahead of that. It says future policy toward the national debt. Can the debt be retired? The danger in a large national debt, now certainly no one would say that we didn't have that, is not, as we have observed, solely in the size of the debt, but rather in the proportion of interest payable on the debt to the national income. The amount of interest payable in proportion to the national income. An overcautious government spending policy might conceivably lead to a fall in income and employment. We see that happening. Consequently, debt might grow while national income fell, thus increasing the interest burden of the debt. The government should probably sponsor policies that help national income to rise as population and productivity increase. Instead, they finance abortions and our productivity is on the wane. If this means increasing the size of the national debt to bolster the economy and combat depression, the government must be prepared to do so, and that's what they're doing everywhere, throwing money at the problem. Paradoxically, an extensive government spending policy aimed towards full employment might lead to a lighter debt burden than an overcautious policy that tries to balance the budget amidst serious unemployment. They're real issues here. These are things that people have studied this before, have written about, and written about 60 years ago. There are many sincere people who fear that the national debt in the years ahead, again, this was written in 1953, is going to increase relative to our national income. I guess their fears were realized. Those who believe this argue for balanced budgets and a program to retire the debt. Can the debt be retired? The answer is quite simply yes. Whether we as a nation would be any better off after the debt has been paid off is another matter. But let us examine some of the ways which the debt could be retired. There's some other ways out. The national debt could be retired gradually by collecting more in the form of taxes than is paid out by the government as expenditures. The surpluses could be applied toward the retirement of the debt. Does the public benefit from this process? Let's see. The government orders the public to pay more in dollars in the form of taxes. Then it hands these dollars to the banks, which hold much of the debt, and to the public, in return for which the bonds are surrendered to the government. Some individuals and groups will have gain, but only at the expense of others. Actually, the net result will probably be deflationary, keyword, for the whole economy, for two reasons. First, redeeming the bonds from the banks would result in lowering total bank deposits, since the government would pay for the bonds with deposits created by the banking system at the time the bonds were first issued. The result is monetary contraction and deflationary. Second, taxes collected from an individual reduce his disposable income and consequently his consumption expenditures. Individual bondholders who receive some of the tax dollars in exchange for surrendering their bonds may not rush right out and spend them. Hence, consumption expenditures might fall. The next problem would probably be deflationary. A condition we may not welcome at that particular time if it threatens to push the economy into a low level of employment. Here's another. The national debt could be repudiated, and I've spoken of this in the past. It would be possible for the federal government to announce that it no longer intends to pay the principal or the interest on its outstanding bonds. This would be a calamitous procedure. The government could not consider it simply because the banking system, which holds a large part of the bonds, would collapse. God forbid we should collapse the Federal Reserve banking system, the Bank of International Settlements, the Rothschilds family. The debt could be reduced by sponsoring policies directed toward raising the general price level. If prices double, for example, the real debt measured by purchasing power is cut in half. Such an action would cause people in fixed income groups to be seriously hurt. Nevertheless, a plan could be adopted of sponsoring a slowly rising price level to reduce the burden of the debt while attempting to minimize the worst effects of the action as much as possible. And there will be no COLA adjustment next year for the seniors. Gradualism, of course. Incrementalism. We'll pick up the last little bit on this and close out our Economics 101 discussion today on the other side of this break.
Appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They are forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now they're bleaching breads to look like multigrain, so you have the brown.
Get your ugly white ass out.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
If we've returned and we have a caller online, we'll go to caller in a moment, Brian from Arizona, in just a moment. But so we can see that we've got both fiscal policy and monetary policy. We've discussed them. And that there are these ideas about can the debt be retired? And our authors have, in this textbook, have given us three that I've already gone over, one more to remain. One of them is that the national debt could be retired gradually. We spoke of that. Two, the national debt could be repudiated, with perhaps disastrous effects on the banking system. Three, the debt could be reduced. And four, there's another solution that our economists teach in school. And that is, it is also possible for the Treasury to pay off the debt in whole or in part by issuing new currency through the revaluation of the monetary unit. The money thus obtained could be used to retire the old bonds from circulation. Such an action taken by itself would be inflationary, but when we reflect that a large part of the bond is held by banks and that currency is issued to the banks would be equaled by a decrease in deposits, the overall result might not be inflationary. Is there going to be a new currency? We've heard a lot about it. Let's go ahead and go to Brian in Arizona. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well yourself.
You know, I don't know that it matters if we get a new currency. I think we're going to be so decimated in the next couple of years, it doesn't matter. And, you know, I do some interesting things to gauge the economy, like run around to yard sales and, you know, say, are you moving or are you just selling stuff? And they go, well, oh, we're moving. I go, where are you moving? Well, four streets down the road. And this is Arizona where it's 120. They go, I go, why so close? He goes, because it's cooler down there. Ha, ha, ha. And I said, well, I said, you sold your house, right? And he said, yeah. And I looked in the yard and there's no sign. And I said, congratulations. You sold a $400,000 house in the worst real estate market ever without a real estate agent. I said, you should be like Carlin Sheets telling people how to do this on late night TV. And he looked at the wife, and the wife looked at him like, uh-oh, we got caught. We're in foreclosure. He knows it. And then I said, so how about this Obama? And he goes, now that's a sore subject. I said, why? Well, we voted for him, and we got to give him a chance. I said, you know what? Let me run on down to the local Albertsons grocery store and get you a box of Kool-Aid, because in the midst of a foreclosure, selling everything at your yard sale, you're still drinking the Kool-Aid. And then you go to the yard sale selling $50 just for 50 cents so the wife can buy more. So you got people with money that don't have a clue, people that are losing everything that don't have a clue. And I write down www.oraclebroadcasting.com and say you need to start listening to the radio show and quit buying stupid stuff and quit losing everything, drinking booze with Kool-Aid, thinking Obama is going to save you. I think we're all headed for disaster, and everybody's got their head in the ground except a few of us.
Well, it's amazing to
me. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. It's amazing to me, Brian. As I'm reading through this economics textbook and reviewing the economics news every single day, they're trying all of the same tricks that an economics 101 student would have learned back in 1953, and none of these tricks are working, or else, and I think this is more likely, they're just using these standard talking points that have been around for 50 or more years as a panacea to the people, when basically behind the scenes they're just trashing the whole house and stealing us blind in accordance with the principles laid out by Leo Strauss in the neocon agenda, the idea of the city of speech and the city of crime. So we've got a real problem, and I'm sure even in Arizona, you know, that you're having the Valley of the Scum or the Valley of the Sun, you guys are having just as much trouble out there.
Well, let me tell you, you'll get a kick out of this. The realtors are lying. Say, oh, the market's coming back. The TV's saying green shoots, it's coming back. It's a great time to buy a house. I own a business where I pay a guy to deliver my flyers, so I go check on him. It was 5 days later, and he said, well, go around to the foreclosures and sold for sale houses where they're empty, and you'll probably find a flyer to verify we put them out. So I see a house, and there's flyers stuck all over the door, and the house looks empty. There's no curtains, and there's weeds everywhere. And I think, a foreclosure or something's weird. I walk up, and on the side wall next to the door facing east, where the sun comes up every morning, hits it, the rain hits it, there is a brand new trustee sale sign. But what was interesting is I looked at the top of the notice, and the fax date on it, where it came over the fax machine, was November of 08. And the sale was February 09, okay? Now, here it is, almost November 09, a year from the notice date, which tells me they posted a notice, it never went to sale, or it went to sale and didn't sell, and it's not on the market. And then I look in the house, and there's junk on the floors, the cabinet doors are open, there's pots and pans, and there's a brand new loaf of bread that's not moldy sitting on the counter. Now, if that was from last November or February, that bread would have been moldy, and I could see through the plastic. There was no, that tells me someone's living in that house. And I'm hearing there's 142,000 shadow homes that they're afraid to put on the market because it's going to collapse the market. And in Paradise Valley, where the million-dollar-plus homes are, there's 170 of them noticed for foreclosure. And around the city, there's another 40-some thousand noticed. So real soon, they're going to have maybe 180,000 possible shadow homes that they can't put back on the market because they're trying to let the other ones get bid up and give people a false sense of security that our market's good when it's not, because the banks are holding them off the market. That's the only way they're creating this false shortage of homes. And nobody understands this, and the real estate agents are lying, and the media's lying, but I know the real story, and I'm seeing it.
Right here locally, Brian, in our small town newspapers, we have somewhere between 3 and 4 pages. Now we're talking a very small newspaper of real estate ads for listings, full page advertisements that show pictures and descriptions. You know how they look, and just page after page of them. On the back, we've got foreclosure trustee sales, page of them. You know, and so it gives you an idea that there's this. There, even here in small town America, rural America, we're having the same dilemma that you're having in a much more urban area. There's tons and tons of listings. I remember when I was back in the 1980s, when I was a real estate agent, I was able to get to be the top listing agent in all of the North End Brokers Association in King County. I had listings out to Kazuti, but at interest rates of over 20%, I couldn't sell a single one. We have the opposite situation happening today, Brian, where we have tons and tons of listings, but there's no one that can afford to buy these houses. And even though they're having giveaway and fire sale interest rates and the mortgages, we report on them every day, I would have loved to have been able to buy property at 4% on a 15-year mortgage. But today, even though the interest rates are pegged down to and bare down to the bone, we can't get these houses sold. And so, you know, we've got a real problem both ways. But as I said earlier, there's this cycle, Brian, and you've seen it in your life, I've seen it in mine, and it basically is designed, I think, to impoverish every single generation in this boom and bust and boom and bust and boom and bust cycle.
Yeah, it's bad. Well, it was nice talking to you. Glad I could give you a little info.
Well, I appreciate your calling in, Brian, and I appreciate your listening to the broadcast and chipping in, because I need to hear what's happening in Arizona. I'd like to hear something about California. I'd like to hear something from the South today, something from New York today. But it's the same story, I think, all across America.
Well, where I get my, especially garage sales, when you see people selling stuff they wouldn't normally sell, like, okay, you go to a house, and you walk up, and there's an older couple and a younger lady, and you say, what's going on? And the guy says, oh, we're moving back to New York. And then you see this $700 security off the front door, the security door for sale, and that $200 8-foot-tall doggy pet door that goes in the sliding glass door, and they're selling stuff like that. And there's no sign in the yard that the house is for sale. And if they were renting, they wouldn't be selling the security door, would they?
That's exactly right.
And then what you do is, so you sniff it, and then you ask the old couple, you say, man, or you say, this market's going down another 30%, and then they goof up, and they say, oh, yeah, our $8,000 house is worth $500 in Troon, and we're going to live here till we die just to try to get our money. But I said, well, I thought you were moving back to New York.
Yeah, well, I gotta cut you off, Brian. We're at the end of the show.
To foreclosure.
All right, bye. See you, bud. Well, there you go, folks. Real news, garage sales, flea markets. You can find your real information right down at the local level. I'll be back again on Monday. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
History will always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.